joining us right now on 103.3 FM is a good buddy, the one and only from Channel 8 WFA Sports, Dale Hansen. Do you remember that night?
I do remember that night. That was about 15, 16 years ago, though. That was the, I've started kind of trying to figure out where you found that. That was my 20-year roast they did for me. But it would have been, what, 15 years ago.
How about that?
That was a fun night. Jones was actually pretty good that night too.
Dale, what is your best?
Might have been the last time we had a friendly conversation.
And that's why I was going to ask you. I mean, you know, you've done so many sit downs with him, and I love the ones at Oxnard and everything you do.
Yep.
What's your best or most surprising Jerry Jones story you could share?
There's really no good stories that I can share. I'm gonna take them all to my grave with me. But my favorite line, my best story was I can share some of it anyway. They were having the first year they were in Austin. He called me and invited me to come back for the media party because I had left that final week of training camp as they were about to finish up. And all of a sudden, I get a call and. He said, hey, I didn't realize you left. We're having a big media party. And he said, we can't have one without you. So I flew back to Austin to be there for the party. And we partied all night long. And we were just going from place to place to place. And there was about six, I don't know, eight, ten of us. Jim Reed from the Star-Telegram was with us, a bunch of guys. And we walked into this bar in Austin about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, where they, you know, they keep the bars open, but you can't drink, right? I mean, they play music and so on. And Jones walks up to the bartender and says, we're going to need drinks for my guys. And I'll never forget this. The guy looks at Jones and says, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, but we can't serve alcohol after 2 o'clock. And Jones looks at him and says, hey, buddy, either you start serving drinks or I'm going to buy the bar tomorrow and you're the first guy I get rid of. And about 2 minutes later, Jones comes up to me and says, go to the bathroom. Yeah, go to the bathroom. I said, I don't have to go to the bathroom. He says, go to the bathroom. And I walk in the bathroom, and there's a guy sitting on the stool, and he said, what do you have? They got mixed drinks and beers, and everything was set up. And we sat there and drank until about 5:30 in the morning, until I finally was about ready to fall off a bar stool. I called a cab and went back to my hotel. And Jones, that very day, Jones did Good Morning America, like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and was at practice all day. I slept all day. He goes to practice all day after staying up all night. I went, you know, this man's got a different motor than I have. And but it was crazy. It was fun. I have to admit, it was fun. And but I've used that line or similar parts of it. I just love that line. I'll never forget it. Either you start serving drinks, buddy, or I'll buy the bar tomorrow, and you're the first guy I get rid of.
Oh, my goodness. We're speaking with Dale Hansen at WFA Channel 8 here on Mark Elfenbein's show. All right, and I guess, look, things have turned around for this team, but Jason Garrett, why is he still the coach?
Well, he should have been gone 3 or 4 years ago, in my opinion, at least by the standards of how Jones has actually run the football team and how most NFL teams run it. But here's the question I have today, Elf, that I'm going to bring up tonight on Sports Special. How much credit, as you say, because I don't think there's any question they've turned it around. I think the Amari Cooper trade was a great move by the Cowboys, and I think getting rid of Paul Alexander and bringing Hudson Hauk and then making Mark Colombo the offensive line coach was an even better move. And Glenn Smith, who works with me on Sunday night, was out in front of this for weeks. I mean, he was saying on Sunday nights for weeks that the Cowboys' offensive line was in trouble because of the way Paul Alexander had tried to change the way they blocked. They weren't using their hands properly. They kept their hands too low and all this technical nonsense that I didn't know or understand. But my question is, how much credit am I supposed to give Jerry Jones or Jason Garrett or whoever it is? How much credit am I supposed to give them for fixing a problem that they created? And I'm serious about this. I mean, this idea of having a receiving group by committee made no sense.
None.
Changing the offensive line philosophy of blocking styles made no sense. So am I then supposed to say, wow, this is great. Jason, you did a marvelous job, or Jerry, you did a marvelous job because you fixed the problem that you created. And I get it. I mean, I think they do deserve some credit for fixing the problem. I mean, some people don't, but I think they have turned it around, and I think those are the two main reasons why. But I, despite what the lovely Mrs. Hansen keeps telling me, though, you need to give Jerry some credit. You need to give the Cowboys more credit. She's a huge Cowboys fan. I just have trouble giving anyone too much credit for fixing a problem, though. I think they created it. It was a self-inflicted problem. But Jason's going to survive. I think Cowboys fans better get used to it. I don't think Jason's going anywhere. I think Jerry is incredibly comfortable with Jason Garrett as his head coach. And while Jerry keeps saying all these things about winning is the only thing that matters to him and that he would do anything to win a Super Bowl, how do you keep Jason Garrett on the payroll for 8 years of this mediocrity that we've been staring at?
He must have that credit card that we've never seen, right? That special.
Well, he's either got that credit card or he's got some of the same pictures that I've got. And,
Oh, man. Speaking of Dale Hansen of WFA Channel 8 here on the Mark Elfenbein Show, right, how good is this Cowboy team? What are we looking at?
Well, I think today's a big test. I mean, I really do. I think the Saints game is one of those games that happens in the NFL anymore. Because with very, very few exceptions, this league is, as my buddy said, it's a slot machine league. I mean, you put your quarter in, you pull the handle, and then, you know, you don't know what's going to come out. Anybody can beat anybody almost any week. But again, it was a great win. I mean, they played the game and the Cowboys won. I want to see him back it up now and beat a Philadelphia team that, for whatever goofy reason, is playing as poorly as they have been all season long. But it's still last year's Super Bowl winner. It's still a team that I think is going to be a tough challenge. And if they can back it up with a nice win today, yeah, then I think they got something special. I don't think it's special enough to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think they can beat the Saints in New Orleans. I don't think they can beat the Rams. But they might. Oh, my goodness. This is hard to believe. They might actually win a playoff.
Oh, my God. Mark the tape.
Yeah, put it down. I mean, we're getting all excited that the Cowboys might win a playoff game again. It's possible. But then, I tell you the truth, it wouldn't surprise me that remotely surprised me that they go 2-2, maybe even 1-3 in December. I just find it funny that when the Cowboys win a game, well, now they automatically beat Philadelphia. They automatically go to Indianapolis and beat the Colts without question. Tampa Bay is a no-brainer. And then, of course, they'll kill the Giants at the end of the season. Yeah. And I'm like, really? I mean, have you not been paying attention to what the Cowboys have been doing for the last 20-plus years? I expect them to go at least 3-1. I would think they would, but nothing surprises me with this football team anymore.
Speaking with Dale Hansen, Channel 8 Sports here on 103.3 FM ESPN, the Mark Elfenbein Show. Dale, what do you love about sports still?
Oh, I still just love the drama of it, the theater of it. I don't really care about the wins and the losses, and I haven't for a long time. I mean, you and I have talked about this a little bit off and on over the years, but I don't really care at the end of the game, you know, who won. I think last night's Mavericks game, as you were talking about there on SportsCenter, I was listening to the game. I was speaking at a group in Dallas last night, and I'm listening to the basketball game driving home. You know, the Mavericks are down 8 points with about 4 minutes to play, and this kid, Luka Doncic, you know, goes off and gets 11 straight points, and, you know, they pull that game out. And, you know, watching a 19-year-old kid rise up and do something like that, it just excites me. I mean, I sit in my garage. I mean, I'm actually sitting in the garage in the dark listening to the final minute of the basketball game when I got home. But I love how athletes respond or don't respond. You know, the final score of a game, maybe because of what I do for a living, really doesn't mean much to me and hasn't for a long time. I don't really care who wins or loses, but I love the theater of it. I love the drama of it. I love how individuals respond and don't respond in the right moments. And I still find that as entertaining and as exciting and as fun as anything else I could possibly do. Mm-hmm. So at least as long as I still feel that way, I hope to keep going. But I look at sports differently, and I have. I think it's pretty obvious if you watch me on TV at all. But I look at sports, and always have, a little differently than the typical average sports fan. And
let me throw this at you.
I still find a great deal of enjoyment.
What bothers you the most about sports now?
Oh, well, it's the same thing that's bothered me forever, is the athlete who doesn't realize how lucky they are and how blessed they are and how gifted they are. It's one of the reasons that I do pull so hard for Dak Prescott to succeed. When I see people that I think are just really special, special people I'm talking about, those are the ones that excite me a great deal about the game. And when I see the guy that just blows that gift that he's been given, and as you know, I'm not a religious guy per se, but I believe there's some gift in play here. I mean, you can't just work hard enough. I mean, this is incredibly frustrating to a lot of people, but I strongly believe you can't simply work hard enough to be Dak Prescott, to be Zeke Elliott, to be Amari Cooper, to be Leighton Van Der Esch. I mean, it's a great idea that, oh, gee, I'm going to lift weights and I'm going to run wind sprints and I'm going to eat properly. Yeah, you're not going to be that guy. You know, Leighton Van Der Esch has something that most people don't have. Now, you have to work hard. You have to develop it. But you have to have that gift. And when I see people who have that gift and they just squander it because they're partying too much, or they're just not a good human being, it just disgusts me. I mean, it just absolutely disgusts me. And I guess maybe I should, in some cases, I should have a little more empathy and a little more sympathy for some of the issues they deal with. But when you're talking about being a young person in your 20s and you're given a lot of money and you're given a lot of fame and fortune and doors open up for you, if you're not smart enough to take advantage of that and utilize it for the betterment of everybody around you, it just almost makes me sick to my stomach sometimes.
And lastly, we got about a minute and change. Social media, good or bad?
Well, it depends how it's used. I mean, it made my life better. I mean, on the one hand, although I've said forever, social media is going to destroy our civilization as we know it. And I think it certainly hasn't been used properly, but there's a lot of great things to it. I mean, individually and personally, I mean, obviously, social media changed my life when I wrote that commentary about Michael Sam.
Absolutely.
And, the next thing I know, I'm getting emails from all over the world. All I kept thinking was, how big of an antenna do those people have, for goodness sakes? I mean, how are they hearing that? And that part is good. There's, on the one hand, and again, it's the conundrum that I don't think we figured out yet. I think on the one hand, it's great that so much information is available and so readily available to so many people. But then when it's abused with all the nonsense that we see on social media, and the fact that social media does invade our personal lives, which I don't think is healthy for a lot of us. I mean, I've never denied this. If social media had been around in 1984, you probably never would have heard of me. I mean, there'd have been a lot of pictures of Jerry Jones and others that I tried to hide,
Yeah, let's just say this. Back in Austin, when training camp was at St. Edward's, thank goodness it wasn't around.
Oh, my goodness. We didn't have too many phone cameras hanging around either. I mean, but, you know, the thing that I do find fascinating, I mean, I love the fact that people can share this stuff. But, you know, I don't tweet, because I still stand by this. I mean, I never had anything that I wanted to say or needed to be said in 140 characters or less, and now 280 characters, I guess. But I also think the more I see of tweets from everybody, I also realize that nobody else has anything worth saying either. And it just offends me that people can put out all this nonsense. And the lovely Mrs. Hansen does it all the time. I said, you know, we used to have drapes on our windows so that when people came to show us their vacation pictures, we locked the doors and pulled the drapes. I don't want to see your vacation pictures. I don't care where you had dinner last night. Keep it to yourself. But now we're in this show me stage where, hey, look at me. And, again, there's some good to it. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to destroy our civilization as we know it to have been.
Well, listen, all I can say is it's been an honor knowing you for many, many years. And I still love seeing what you do on TV and appreciate your work. Look forward to seeing you this morning at the Temple Shalom Breakfast. You're the guest speaker, so that's going to be a lot of fun. My team did win the championship, so that's exciting. And
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I hope the Temple has paid up its insurance, though, because I walk into a place of worship. I mean, there could be lightning bolts flying from every direction.
Listen, we got extra bagels with schmears for you. We got you covered.
Hey, by the way, let me plug very quickly. 2 weeks from tonight will be Thank God for Kids, and I wrote something I think is pretty special this year, and I kind of like this one, so I hope people get an opportunity to check out Thank God for Kids on the on Sunday Night Sports Special on the 23rd.
2 weeks from today, and then, of course, tonight, we don't want to miss it either.
No, I'll be there all month, because I'm still the hardest-working man in show business. I'm still going the hardest-working man in show business.
Dale Hansen, always a pleasure. See you later on this morning, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. I'll be there. Take
all
care.
Right. That's the great Dale Hansen, Channel 8.